get ready to start the official meeting.
I'd like to welcome the councillors and the staff and declare the meeting open at 10 a.m. Councillor Drummond, would you like to take your seat?
Thank you.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, the Palawa people of this land, Tasmania, and recognise their continuing connection to the land, skies and waters, and we pay respects to the elders past and present. Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to advise that today's council meeting is being live streamed and recorded. This means that the members of the public are unable to attend in person and still observe the proceedings. By remaining in the chamber, you are consenting to being filmed and recorded. Please be mindful of your actions and contributions as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for your cooperation. 25.1.1, we have everybody in attendance. 25.1.2, we have no apologies. 25.1.3, we have no leave of absence. 25.1.4, we have our staff in attendance. So 25.2.1 is public question time, and we have one there regarding the hunting dogs on Grey Road, St Mary's, which will be responded to in 7 working days. That's quite we're still going. 25.2.2 is the Break a Day planning scheme from Graham Beach. Once again, that will be responded to in 7 working days. And do we have any further questions in public question time, please? Councillor Wright.
Good morning. I have a question from the residents of Reeds Road. A couple of questions, actually, regarding the recent rodeo. There's 5 questions. Number 1, was the recent rodeo council approved and or sponsored? Question number 2, what animal welfare measures were employed as rodeos known for animal cruelty in some events such as calf roping and bronco riding events, bull and bronco riding events? Number 3, is it likely to be an annual event or was it a one-off? Number 4, what policing and security measures were employed as partying went on to the early hours of the morning, causing distress to neighbours and their pets? Number 5, can or should council be more involved in the regulatory process of such events?
That's from forward that through to our secretary, and there'll be responses in 7 working days. Do we have any further questions from the public? Councillor Oldham.
Good morning. Question to Take a Day Council from Graham LeBrock, President of the Anson's Bay Community Group, Inc., regarding the quest for feasibility report to have 3 green waste days at Anson's Bay Waste Station. And the question is, would you know how long such reports take to complete and then the decision-making process involved? We would be happy with the same arrangements that exist for St Helens. Thank you, Graham LeBrock.
Very much, and once again, if you could hand that to our secretary, that will be answered in 7 working days. Do we have further questions from the public? If you'd like to come forward, please take a seat and state your name, even though we know who you are. Yes.
Well, I will introduce myself again. My name is Graham
Watton. I've quite a long submission here, so it might take a little time. At the last council meeting on the 16th of December, I asked the following question. Why does the council insist on reclassifying the exhibition building, which is a Class 9B building, to a workplace classification such as a Class 5 building, which requires air conditioning, when it is essentially a large indoor space suitable for a variety of community activities and purposes? The response provided by council officers was, council is not insisting that the building be reclassified. Council, as the property owner, is required to ensure buildings occupied are compliant with the National Construction Code when new work requiring a building approval is being conducted. As the building requires building work, whether utilised for storage or any other class, then the National Construction Code must be met. Both Class 5 and Class 9 buildings are required to comply with Part J of the National Construction Code. There are various ways in which the performance criteria of the code can be met. This has not been explored in any detail by council officers and will be dependent upon the final decision of council. Section J of the National Construction Code specifies requirements for energy efficiency to ensure that buildings are built to a minimum standard to reduce energy consumption and greenhouse gas emissions. The requirements of the National Construction Code are not applied retrospectively to existing buildings, but only required for new buildings or when there are substantial alterations or improvements to an existing building. Since 2007, the Council has undertaken significant repairs or improvements to the exhibition building, namely repainting the external cladding, repairs to flooring, replacement of windows, replacement of the roof cladding, and electrical upgrades. These measures would seem to be both normal repairs and minor upgrades. The National Construction Code was formally adopted by Tasmania on the 1st of July 1997, and Section J of the National Construction Code was adopted in late 2006 when the Building Code of Australia was amended. So the repairs and improvements undertaken by Council since 2007, including installing energy-consuming lighting, did not require application of Section J. Council officers have now stated, quote, "Council is not insisting that the building be reclassified. However, in the St Mary's Exhibition Building FAQ document, alternative options are canvassed for the building, including upgrade the building for storage purposes, which is a Class 7 building, full rebuild or install steel portal frames, both with provision of air conditioning, which would be a Class 5 building. Interestingly, an option not considered is to undertake structural improvements to the building to allow continuation of its function as a Class 9 building, that is, to continue as an un-air-conditioned assembly building for community uses. Such structural improvements, essentially repairs, without a change of a classification, would not require application of the National Construction Code, nor application of Section J. Council officers are now claiming that any new building work triggers application of Section J of the National Construction Code. So my first question is, what new building works are being proposed by council officers for the exhibition building which would require implementation of Section J of the National Construction Code if there's no intention to reclassify the building? Are council officers insisting that after more than 70 years of the building's life, an assembly-type building, air conditioning, must now be installed? At the last council meeting on the 16th of December, I also asked the following question. What was the brief provided to Collective Consulting for their report in June this year? That is, in 2024. Was the brief written? If not, why not? As only a limited structural assessment was undertaken, does council insist the advice provided is sound, that is, the building has exceeded its design life and is no longer economically viable? Is the council interested in other advice? The response provided by the council officers was, a written brief was not provided given the limited nature of the engagement. The information provided to the structural engineers was to provide an assessment to council relating to its structural adequacy and fit-for-purpose assessment. Council would consider other engineering advice from suitably qualified practitioners who hold a Tasmanian licence. It is notable that the advice provided by Collective Consulting in their June 2024 report was that they carried out, quote, a limited structural assessment with a view to establishing the extent of structural damage along with potential clauses, end quote. They made an afternoon inspection on the 6th of May 2024, which they observed, quote, typical damage, unquote, as, and I quote, major displacement and outward bowing of external walls between steel tie rods, deflection of roof sheet, external downpipe cut off right at building corner, resulting in ponding water. Water stains to end wall interior cladding due to potential water ingress or roof condensation, end quote. Collective Consulting believed the lateral displacement of the long walls was due to, quote, long-term timber sagging related to the age of the material and wind load damage due to insufficient bracing, end quote. They noted, quote, generally the floor, external claddings and foundations are in good condition, end quote. The Collective Consulting report makes a number of negative findings and recommendations, quote, after discussions in conjunction with, end quote, a council officer, including a view that the building had exceeded its design life and improvements to extend its life would not be rational, expectation that movement and deflection would continue regardless of minor improvements, that the building could not be made suitable for habitation or air conditioning, that the building be demolished and replaced with new. Council officers have not provided any opinion as to whether this advice from Collective Consulting is considered sound. Council also engaged structural engineers Dale P. Luck and Associates in 2007 to undertake some structural assessments of the exhibition building. In their 18th of April 2007 report to Council, Luck and Associates noted a number of matters. The existing of tie rods were not very satisfactory. The existing structure would not support a ceiling lining. Roof bracing was insufficient, and the current bracing was provided by the roof sheeting. While the wall cladding was in fair condition, there was no easy way to determine the extent of wall bracing. The timber floor appeared to be in very good condition. Luck and Associates proposed the bracing problem and the internal lining proposal could be solved by installing four internal steel portal frames. It's important to note here that these steel portal frames were proposed to solve two separate matters. One, the bracing problem, and two, the installation of ceiling lining to allow air conditioning. Now, that was 18 years ago. Since then, the council has installed a completely new roof, covering and gutters and downpipes, but has failed to provide stormwater drains to carry the rainwater away from the building, nor has the council attempted to resolve the bracing problem. Further, in responses to a number of public questions about the future of the exhibition building, council officers have deferred to the proposition that they are awaiting, quote, the final decision of council.
For a minute, if I may, I'm going to give you another 3 minutes.
I'm just about to ask the question.
And then, well, we do have procedures, and you've well exceeded it, so we're giving you, by good grace,
good, thank you,
a couple of more minutes, because we do need to get to your questions, not just
exactly
your story.
Exactly.
So thank you.
I have this document printed here for the councils if they'd like a copy.
Thank you.
So my further questions are, number two, why has council, after seeking structural advice about the exhibition building from a number of engineers over the past 18 years, implemented only some of their recommendations, but ignored other recommendations such as installing structural improvements to overcome the bracing problem, such as steel portal frames or installing additional steel rods to partially overcome the bracing problem, and installing underground drains to direct rainwater away from the downpipes, away from the building? And final question, in preparation for the, quote, final decision of council, is it not incumbent on council officers to provide councillors with sufficient information to enable them to make a fair, balanced and well-informed decision? In this regard, is the council prepared to seek alternative, low-cost structural solutions designed to solve the lateral bracing problem without the requirement that the building must be air conditioned?
Thank you very much for that, Graeme. I'd like to hand it up to our secretary. She'll wrap that. And there will be a response in the 7 working days.
Thank you.
Do we have any further questions from the public? We have no further questions. Thank you. We'll move along to 25.3. Declaration of an interest of our councillor or close associate. Do we have any at all? We have none. 25.4.1 is the confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting on the 16th of December. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Chappell. We have any commentary on those minutes? Okay, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.4.2 is the confirmation of the minutes of the annual general meeting on the 10th of December. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any consultation on those? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.5.0 is the council workshop, which has obviously been none since the 16th of December. 25.6.0 is the planning authority, and we have none today, so we'll move straight into 25.7.1, which is council meeting actions and outstanding matters. So, John, I'll let you run this part of the meeting if any councillors have any questions on any of this. Councillor Drummond.
Just one question. It's on page 19. It's in regard to the Indigenous naming process. I was just wondering if we've heard anything back from Parks yet in regard to the situation
yes.
there.
Thank you, Councillor Drummond. Yes, have information back from Parks, and as mentioned, we're feeding this in through the Reconciliation Action Plan process.
Do we know roughly at any point when we're going to have the next consultation in regards to the RAP?
The next RAP one is in February, early February, from memory.
Councillor Johnson.
Just on page 14, it might be somewhere else now, but have we received any feedback from Parks and Wildlife about the dog policy?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
But they are working their way through it.
Okay.
And but yes, I'm not aware of any formal feedback from them, but they are aware of the situation.
Do we have any further questions on outstanding matters? We have none. We'll move to 25.8.0, which is petitions, and we have none. 25.9.1 is notice of motion. Councillor Johnston.
Okay, so do I read it out? Or
you've got to move your motion first.
I would like to move my motion.
Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Wright. Councillor Johnston, would you like to speak to your motion?
I think it's all in there, but the main thing is, for me, there's been a lot of work put into this submission. St Mary's FAQ. When it was put out, it was done at a time when there's holidays, and I just thought it would be a lot of us spend time preparing for Christmas, New Year. So I'm just sort of asking that we extend it for that period, because people basically aren't here, and it's a lot of work for both the council that they've done, and also for people to put them in. So I'm just asking for a couple of weeks extra. And then also I've had feedback from people just about, there's 14 questions, as people would...
Councillor Johnson, we've talked to your motion, not 14 questions. You've actually got a motion in front of
you. Oh, sorry, yeah, but the motion covered, there's two parts to the motion, and the second part is just so that submissions, if they don't cover the 14 questions on the back of the FAQ, that we actually accept them as valid, that they've taken the time to put them in, because some of these questions may not be answerable by people have said they can be difficult, or in some cases, a person, it's one person, to provide a proposal including booking, access, insurance, maintenance, cleaning, etc. When it's one person, not a group, it might be a difficult proposition to put that. So I'm just saying it would be good to take all submissions as valid, because people have made the effort to put in a submission about this important issue to them.
Thank you, Councillor Johnston. And Councillor Wright, as a seconder?
Yeah, I support.
What I have, if I have Councillor Wright, is just a Councillor Johnston.
Yes.
You're seeking a report. That report obviously won't come back until the next council meeting, and you've asked for a extension to the 10th of February, but before the report comes back, it will be past the 10th of February. So I'll get the general manager to that, because you've requested a report, for the report to come back to the next council meeting is going to be after the deadline before we can make a decision on it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll just take it as noted. And
take it as noted.
Yeah, and just extend it if that's what the council's decision is. I just note, in relation to submissions and that, normal practice is to accept all submissions, and that's what we normally do. Same with any tenders. We accept all the tenders. If there's some elements where they haven't met the full criteria, we would note that they, accordingly, that they, you've got ones which are meet all the criteria and others that don't. But so that would just be part of the assessment process, just to note that these ones meet all the criteria, these are there. At the end of the day, it's a council decision.
Councillor Wright?
Just one comment here. Every time we put in a motion, that added piece at the front is the report is sought, in advice, etc., etc. I don't think I've ever actually requested the report, but it's put in by council staff, so I assume that would be the same.
Yeah, I didn't actually ask for that. That's
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's a standard requirement around qualified advice under the Local Government Act. So quite often, if we have a letter, the letter be written, then normally we can just avoid that situation because qualified advice has been received. But with notice of motion, we haven't had the chance necessarily to do that. But in this situation, the type straightforward, it's just administrative actions we're talking there, really. So we can just proceed on that basis.
Councillor Drummond.
Thank you. Chair, can we then remove that section so that it's not actually in there, so it's more representative of what Councillor Johnston has asked for? Because we're not actually asking for a report, we're just asking for Council to consider that the submissions are all accepted and that the closing date be extended, for which there's not time to get a report prior to the next council. So can we just remove that section?
Through Mr. Mayor, if we could just have an amendment.
An amendment from the amended floor, motion.
I'll do that then.
Yep, that paragraph be deleted.
Yep. Councillor
Drummond has moved a motion. I have a seconder for that.
Yep.
Councillor Chapel has seconded that. So I've got to take the amended motion to the vote. Is everybody in favour of the amended motion? Carried unanimous. So the amended motion becomes the motion. I'll now take the motion to the vote. Also in favour of the motion? Carried unanimous.
We didn't get a chance to talk to it.
Sorry, you are correct, Councillor Lefevre, and I apologise, you are correct. So to the motion, would you like to speak to the amended motion, which has become the motion?
Yes, I was just going to say I'm 50-50 voting for the motion, for the original motion or the amended motion, because 2 months is a long time. It's more than we normally have for feedback. But I don't have a problem with it extending in a couple of weeks. The question I have is, are there any ramifications for the process from council staff point of view?
Mr. Mayor, no, but we'll just probably push it out a month just because of timing with workshops, etc.
Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Lefevre, and I should have asked for that. If we have no further speaking to the motion or against the motion, I'll take it to the vote. Everybody in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.10.0 is councillors' questions on notice. We have nil. 25.11.0, councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Johnston.
Now, this has just come about, this question. Just when we did the beginning, when we did question time, public question time, Some of them are written. We get some sent to us written. Is that something that we potentially should be reading out now that we've got, you know, people watching online so people know what they are at public question time? Just a question, maybe it should be that we do read them out so we as councillors know, but we as the public.
I personally would have no problem with that. I'd be very comfortable with that. I'd have no problem
at all. So thank you for that.
That's a good pick-up too, Councillor Johnson. And if people have the courtesy and the time to put in, I've definitely got no issue at all reading them out. So good pick-up. Thank you. Councillor Wright.
On that, is it appropriate for us to go back a few steps and actually read those questions?
Not now, Councillor, but we will move it from this one going forward. Do we have any further? Councillor Drummond?
I've just got a question in regard to Upper Scamander Road that was raised with me by one of the residents there, and that was around the resheeting of the Upper Scamander Road. There's a 6-kilometre stretch that's been resheeted, and apparently that resheeting is causing a lot of dust to come off the road, from what I'm reading, and there are health concerns, obviously, with that, silicosis, etc. The question is about, previously the council was doing replacing 1 kilometre of dirt a year with bitumen. Are we going to continue that as a council into the future, so to safeguard the people living on Upper Scamander Road?
Thank you very much. If you could put that question in.
Yep.
Do we have any further questions without notice? I have one, if I may, General Manager. Prior to Christmas, we had some discussion about the disgraceful roads that we have at going to our campsites, which are under the control of Parks and Wildlife. A month later, they still haven't been repaired. They've done a bit of potholing. They haven't been graded. The bitumen roads have got holes in them. You can hide a mini miner in. You have to be careful they're not driving out of the hole as you go into it. And the bitumen that has got massive holes in it is actually potential to snap axles on caravans going into Dora Point. Could we please write a letter to the Minister of Parks requesting the adequate resources to the Parks and Wildlife in our community in Breaker Day to actually get on to fixing these roads? A month is not acceptable.
Yep. OK, Mr Mayor, we've talked to the Regional Manager and the North East Regional Manager about this, but we can certainly write a letter to the Minister if required on the matter.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions, Councillor
Drummond? I did have a second question, which I'd lost in my notes. I was just wondering, have there been any updates on the St Mary's Pass, and if not, can we make contact with the relevant bodies to see? Because I think we were originally provided with, they were going to provide something to us by December.
Three, Mr Mayor. Yes, they are working through their multi-criteria assessment, and we have, a couple of months ago, actually asked them to provide an update to the community as to where they're at with it, so I dare say they're still drawing together the report, and then they'll provide something back to the community, but we'll follow them up to see where they're at with it.
Thank you very much. It's just people are asking a lot about it because it seems to have gone very quiet and there's
exactly,
nothing.
Exactly, completely agree.
So it would just be, it's just that thing of keeping the community updated, really, so that they think that, you know, they know it's not being forgotten. Thank you.
Councillor Lefevre.
When they did the presentation with us here, I asked them about a date and they said May, because I then said that was a pity because that would probably be after the federal election, and they said they couldn't excuse that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. If we have no further questions without notice, we'll move on to 25.12.1 is the Mayor's communication for the period ending 20th of January. 25.12.2 is the Councillor's reports for the period ending 20th of January. Breaker Day Chamber and Commerce and Tourism, Deputy Mayor Christy Chappell, did you have a report?
No, we haven't had a meeting, thank you.
Okay, NRM Special Committee, Councillor Drummond.
We haven't had a meeting, our next meeting is in January.
Thank you. East Coast Tourism, Councillor Lefevre.
February.
We haven't had a meeting, but it's pleasing to note that with the CEO taking some leave, there have been 8 really quality applicants for the acting position, so that's being worked through at the moment.
Thank you very much, Councillor Fever. And while I've got you in the hot chair, Councillor Fever, what about the Mental Health Action Group? Nothing. Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee, Councillor Drummond?
Again, February is our next meeting.
So. No worries, thank you. Biofires Master Plan Steering Committee, Councillor Carter?
There hasn't been a meeting. There's a report from the manager in our document today, and there has been some problems with communication in terms of people accessing the survey, but it's been noted with Hanson, and I think there's a request for an extension of time for people to submit there, but it's all on track.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. 25.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Rao.
Good morning, Councillors.
Rao, would you like to speak to your report, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors, the report is the Corporate Services Department report for the period, which of course had the Christmas break in it. It's fairly brief this month, just outlining our investment portfolio and the rate summary. And I'll leave it at that, Mayor, if there are any questions.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Johnson, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to the Corporate Services Manager on the report?
No, but I'd just like to say thank you and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Can I have, that's been moved and seconded. I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.13.2 is the monthly financial report. Rao, would you like to speak to this and anything you'd like to highlight apart from your notations you already have there?
Not particularly, Mayor. It's all pretty much laid out there, and if councillors have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions to the Corporate Services Manager on this one? This is going pretty good. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.13.3 is the Visitor Information Centre report. And Rao, this one's looking pretty good again.
Agree, Mayor. I don't really have much beyond what the update provides. And any questions?
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the report to be received? Councillor Drummond, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions? Councillor Drummond.
Just one, please, if I may, through the chair. Raoul, I'm just wondering, do you know when the next volunteer meeting is going to be held? Did you find out, please?
Sure.
Yep. I'd just like to go along at least once a year and support volunteers.
Yep.
So thank you very much.
No worries.
Thank you.
Councillor Carter.
I just observed in this report there's lots of comments about the Bay of Fires and the camping facilities. I'm just hoping that all of the statistics that the visitor centre require are taken into account in that report.
Thank you. Any other questions? If we have none, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Rao.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, councillors.
Good morning, David. 25.14.1 is the Works and Infrastructure report. And David, you've got a little bit there to report on. Would you like to lead the way?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, councillors. In the report, I think it's just prudent to note that after the last council meeting, we've assessed the damage from the November-December storm event. Most of the damage was to the road network, the unsealed road network, up through Tyne Road, Evercreech, places like that, and around St Mary's. And the estimate is totaled $345,000. So we've been addressing those issues, and we've still got a bit of work to complete in that area. But that certainly impacted our operations. We hardly recovered from the event from August, September, and then we have another one. So there you go. One thing that's not included in the report, and this came after the submission of the report for council, State Growth has notified me about upgrades to the Tasman Highway between St Helens and Scottsdale. The department will commence roadworks upgrade to the Tasman Highway. They've got a focus on improving safety for motorcycle riders and other road users. Over the period of February through to end of June, Their planned improvements include new warning signs for motorcyclists, chevron markers, safety barriers and fencing. And where they've got crash barriers, they'll put an underrun rail. So if a cyclist goes under the rail, they're less likely to sustain additional injury.
Take away the cootie.
So that's good news. That's happening. During construction, I'll have a whole lot of temporary traffic control measures in place. We'll be notified prior to work as to what that means, because it will disrupt travel time between here and Scottsdale.
Thank you very much for that, David. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Lefevre and seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to David on the Works and Infrastructure report, please? Councillor Drummond.
The Chair, it's not so much a question, it's a comment, because when we met with the community at Wellborough last year sometime, they were very concerned about that motorcycle safety issue and they did ask for signage, etc. So this is really positive outcome, I think, for the community to know that this is going to happen, because that was something they were quite, you know, they talked about previously. There had been signs and they had disappeared over the years. So thank you. This is a good outcome. Great.
Very much. Councillor Johnston?
Yeah, it's similar, but I'm just wondering when we get to speak with the Department of State Growth, is it? Can we take into consideration some of those questions or proposals that were put forward by the Wellborough community, because they actually sort of knew some of the spots. Like, do we actually get to talk to them about where it might be helpful for such signs to go, like that the community has seen, or do you know what I mean?
I can make a call to the project manager and mention that.
That would be great.
Outside of that, I don't have any details on specific works.
Is it likely that they will, along the way, inform us?
As I say, I can ask the question.
Very much, David. Okay. I appreciate that.
I have one other question, and it's about the just the recent downpour that we had that impacted Fingal and Mathina to a point. I just wanted to note that I did get a call from someone, and Mayor, I know you also did, and it was great, and I just got a response from Stuart, not from Stuart, from the person that Stuart had gone out and met with them about where the flooding had happened on the main road.
Yeah.
So I just wanted, it's a question sort of, because I was asked I was asked what I could do, but it seems that the Works Department are onto it. So I just wanted to say, first of all, thanks for that.
Yeah, and in that particular case, there is a letter going back to that person outlining how we can help them with their concerns.
Yep.
It's not so much a council matter, but we refer those matters through to NRE around some of the localised flooding that occurred on private land, not because of council's infrastructure.
Councillor Oldham, and then Councillor Chappell.
I have concern about that piece of highway, probably between Goshen and Marina. Heavily vegetation. In past, the vegetation was kept down on a lot of the tight corners. You could actually see what was coming towards you. In the days of today, big caravans, tourist buses, various trucks, and a lot of the time, it's nice to be able to see them coming towards you without sort of meeting them face to face in these tight places. You can sort of back a little bit. And also from the storms back, August, September, a lot of the vegetation that fell on the roads and has been cleared to the side, it hasn't been removed, it's still lying where it was left. And I don't think that's really a good look. Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Oldham. I just add two pieces to that. I actually reported this, and we've done a little bit of work on it with State Growth, or that General Manager has. And you're 100% correct. Crash barriers haven't been repaired. Stuff laying over the road. But, David, the issue that Vaughan is alluding to is council roads as well as state government roads, a lot of the corners, they put a bench around the corner so you could see over the bench to what was oncoming. Over many years, there is absolute zero maintenance and all the trees and the scrub has grown up on the benches, which was put there for safety reasons. How do we address that through you to be able to just ask them if they would remove the vegetation off the benches for the road safety reasons?
I think, Mr. Mayor, and we just write them a letter outlining our concerns and a request for them to act on it.
Thank you.
Outside of that, it probably needs to be referred to a higher authority.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Chappell.
Through the chair, I'm just wondering, and this might be more of a question maybe for Jane as such, but in regards to when these works are being undertaken and specific areas of road closures and delays or, you know, under signage, businesses that are using these roads, so I'm talking like the truck haulage businesses and stuff like that that are going to the top of Little Plains, how are they made aware of these road closures? Is that just going to be... I mean, I know it's not our responsibility as such, but will we be able to share some stuff from State Growth or something like that to make these businesses aware? Because I'm assuming State Growth won't be contacting the businesses directly. And, like, even the school buses and that sort of thing.
I don't know what State Growth will do, albeit they've given me a link if people require further information.
So that would maybe that's something we can share?
Look, potentially we could put this as a note on our website or even a social media post relaying, alerting people to this and providing the contact detail to State Growth for those individuals or companies.
Thank you very much. Do we have any further questions? We have no further questions, Sir David, on the Works and Infrastructure Report. Can I take this to the vote? All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.14.2 is the animal control report for your perusal, which is, David, nothing extra to report on that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only comment is that dog registrations are lagging somewhat this year over the previous period, but the animal control officer is currently chasing those outstanding matters up.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to David on this? We have none. I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you very much, David. The Community Development Services Report, 25.15.1. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, councillors.
Chris, would you like to speak to your report?
Certainly, Matt. It's been very busy since we've come back with a lot of events. And I just want to just pick up on what Councillor Carter said about the Biofires Master Plan. I've actually included it in the agenda as well. We have identified issues around people being able to connect to do the QR code and even to do the survey online. So there is a survey. I have hard copies of the survey. If anyone would like copies, I'm more than happy to give them to you. We've received a few so far, which is great. But like Councillor Carter said, we'll be asking for another extension of time so that people are given a fair time to connect.
Thank you.
This isn't the only consultation that will take place. This is just the initial one, Mark. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to comment on in your report?
No, just that the new pump track at the trailhead is open. Been used by a range of people, young and old, which is great. And the Fingal Park works commenced this week, so that was outside of the agenda time. That's why it's not there. So the pump track construction will start this week.
Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Drummond and seconded Councillor Johnston. Any questions? Councillor Wright?
Just on the Community Council Events Program, down the list for the Australia Day wood chopping. In the first budget it says 15,000, sorry, in the first column.
That's been, if I can, Councillor Wright, every year.
Is it?
The same question comes up every year. Because if the regatta, being the Rotary Club regatta, the car show, everything, if anything was to always happen, there is a figure that's been budgeted for. It is not the cost. Chris, would you like to...
Certainly. And these are all council decisions. These figures that are in this table are all council decisions, based on council decisions. So if another event decided to come in on that weekend, we would bring it back to council. because it wasn't. It's part of this funding that's been set aside.
Councillor Johnston.
Oh, sorry, can I just get that clarified? Because I was going to ask the question. I thought the comma was in the wrong spot.
No, that.
But
the,
it, what it is it's a
it's the Australia
aside.
Day event, and yes. That used to be the Rotary. We've had Lions. Okay. They used to have a huge event on the foreshore, and there used to be. In those days, a budget allocated, and it never gets used, but it's always been there, and that's always been a council decision.
And like I said, Mayor, if there's any variation, it always comes back to council for a council decision.
Councillor Drummond.
Two questions. In light of the, through the chair, in light of the conversation there, do we need to keep the $15,000 in there, or could we now reduce that, as that's not an ongoing event? And as Chris has just highlighted, if there was to be another event for that weekend, it would come back to council for a decision anyway, for approval.
Three,
so
Mayor,
do we need to?
We can certainly reduce it through the budget process. Yeah.
And just that's all my question was. And my other one was, in just a simple question, have they done the planting of the trees at the pump track that we were...
Up here at the trailer? No, not yet, no. But I believe they are here and...
Mr. Mayor, it's being left to we get into autumn.
Ah, that's fair enough.
So
yeah.
The trees,
maintenance
there,
now would be
but
horrendous.
Just from the point of view of trying to establish in the height of summer,
absolutely.
It's
yeah.
Autumn planting.
That sounds
so,
really good, yeah. I was just wondering because that lack of shade thing, but I mean, it makes much more sense to put them in autumn because of maintenance of them right now, yeah, that's right.
Hopefully, we get rain to go with it.
Councillor
We've had
Chapman.
Plenty up the hill. We've had plenty. Would you like some?
Please. Yeah. 50 mil.
Thank you.
Just wanted to make a comment in regards to, and I'm not quite sure if this is in the right spot or not, John, so you might have to guide me here. Obviously, we had the Cell on Wheels, the Telstra Cell on Wheels, which boosted the mobile service in St Helens over the Christmas period and is still doing so. I've had numerous comments and complaints now in regards to Binalong Bay. It is impossible to make mobile phone calls between, like, business hours in Binalong Bay. People are getting up early to do their work online and then walking away from their computers. So I don't know if there is something that we can possibly look at just due to the influx of visitors out there to put something forward to Telstra. I don't know, but...
Through you, Mayor, we have the same... We have probably a worse issue at Answers Bay. But it is part of a conversation that has been had, and I believe that Telstra are dealing with it, but it's not this year.
And that's fine. I just wanted to make mention of it as long as it's on the radar. Thank you.
Councillor Johnson.
Just a couple. One, well done with the pump track opening. I was just wondering what was the attendance at the event? Was it good?
Quite a few people there,
Yeah.
Of all ages too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was good.
The mayor was cycling around there.
Yeah. And never fell
off either. No, you didn't fall off. You didn't fall off.
And sorry, my other question was around the BioPhars Master Plan. You spoke sort of that Ian had raised something. I just asked about how do people get the, in my head here, hard copies, and I think you've said... you're looking at extending or asking them to extend the closing date, and that was my question. Is it possible to extend the closing date?
Through you, Mayor, we've already requested an extension, and
yes.
Now we're going to go back and ask for another extension
okay.
because of this issue that people can't access out that way, through Anson's, anywhere past Binalong Bay, people can't do the QR code or even access through the website because they don't have that connectivity.
Yep.
They do it 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but, yeah.
It's a little bit similar,
actually. Further questions? Councillor Carter.
It's not a question, it's a comment. The manager mentioned how busy it has been the last couple of months, and I'd like to commend the staff that have been involved, particularly with the Christmas festivity stuff, so congratulations to those people.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. And I think the community service officer would be very pleased to have some very positive comments because I know they have worked so hard, the council across the board, making our community a welcoming place, and the amount of work that a couple of people do outside of normal hours has been amazing. No further comments. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you.
25.16.1 is the Development Services Report. Good morning, Jay. Good
morning, everybody.
Jay, would you like to speak to your report, please?
Sure, pretty standard report from the department this month. Abatements is obviously a bit of a key task for the department at the moment, and luckily everybody has been pretty obliging. We haven't actually had to issue any abatement notices themselves, and we're finding just an educational sort of letter is been quite effective, and people are just getting on and getting the jobs done. So, yeah, no abatements issued as yet, but we suspect there might be a couple we will have to issue, but generally things are pretty good out there at the moment, so a couple of problematic properties, but quite good. Also, the opening for the Samaria's Indoor Centre and the Fingal Community Shed is proposed for the 14th of March. I'd noted February still in the report and hadn't updated that bit, so 14th of March is scheduled. We haven't had confirmation yet, but all going well. Both buildings will have that opening on that day. Nothing else further to add than that?
Thank you very much, Jake. And I've somebody moved the Development Services Report we received. Councillor Barnes, second Councillor Oldham. Any questions, please, to Jake on the Development Services Report? Councillor Johnston.
It is questions. It's about the strategic planning projects in 2024-2025 financial year. It's on page 54. My general question really is, as we go through this review process, because I think these are they're really important to how our municipality will look and feel into the future. And these recommendations on these planning products, projects, will I assume go to the Planning Commission? Is that how it works?
Not necessarily. So the projects that are listed are sort of a bit of a mixed bag depending on the specific project, but I guess a lot of the work is more of council-related work to start with, where it sort of informs policy, and it might be the outcomes of those plans then end up in our Tasmanian planning scheme or back with the commission. It just depends on what those final changes are. But obviously Deb's presenting the Scamander Beaumaris structure plan, so the outcomes of that might well end up in some recommendations back to the commission. But to start with, we need to do the legwork to make those recommendations.
So regional land use strategy is quite a substantial piece of work. It's just I would like to see, I'm asking the question if councillors can be engaged in that process, or you will be bringing it back to workshops. And so for me, this is quite a really important part of what we do. So I'm just there. That's my question. Will it be?
So yeah, through you, Mayor, obviously we'll develop a brief, and as part of that brief we'll develop a consultation strategy. So that'll be workshopped in the first instance with councillors to have that discussion, make sure you guys are understanding the scope and our approach to the work, and then it'll come to a meeting after that date.
And my final question is in 1, 2, 3, the third table under current update. Where it says phase one state of play first draft report has been received for review by the regional planning group. Can you see that bit?
Yep.
Who is the regional planning group?
What's
the membership of that?
Sure, it's effectively made up of members from all the northern regional councils. So they all have a bit of a get together and talk about some of these high level strategic projects. And Deb, our senior planner, participates on that as our primary representative.
Here. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any
Thanks
further
very
questions?
Much
You're
for
right,
that.
Councillor Johnson. Any further questions?
Thank you.
If we have none, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And 25.16.2. Deb, how are you this morning?
Yeah.
Industrial and study project brief.
Yeah, thank you.
So
good morning,
you,
councillors. So the first one is the industrial land study. We've got a project brief seeking a request for quotes, and it's been prepared for the Break-A-Day industrial land study. We're seeking quotations, capability statements and proposed timelines for the project from consultants. Primarily the study is to provide a forward supply of industrial land within the municipality. It's to consider the adequacy of the existing precincts, potential opportunities, and identify additional land within the municipality. So latent potential to accommodate further growth on existing land is a component of it, as well as identifying a forward supply of land too. So we've broken the project brief down into three different tasks, just so that we can also include and cater for an aspirational goal of identifying land for emerging or expanding sectors and supporting entrepreneurship. So those three sections of the project are economic drivers and diversification. You should have a copy of all of this. The land supply investigation, and then the regulatory environment. So that's where what you were talking about before, Councillor Johnston, might identify some planning scheme amendments in terms of that regulatory environment. But it also aims at, if we've identified industrial land, that we've got it in a form and an agreed form that people can just get on with business as well. Okay, so there's sort of two different aspects to that. And of course, part four, it goes without saying, is the engagement component of the project. So this brief, it's been provided to council for consideration. We can include any directed amendments to it also. And so I've just put it forward for consideration now.
Thank you very much, Deb. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions to Deb on this project brief? Councillor Drummond.
To the Chair, please. Page 65, I note that we've taken out community wellbeing.
As
to why that would be.
Because it's actually in the wrong section there. Ah. it is a driver within this project as well, but you'll see we've included it elsewhere. It was just in that dot point form. It was just in the wrong section.
Can you point me to, because I haven't really seen it. I just think it is, community wellbeing is quite a large component of whatever we do with industrial land, because it's going to impact on people in that community. So I think that's something that should remain in there.
So, I'd have to do a word search to find where it is, but it's not a concept that's been removed from the project brief. It's just been in the correct location. Yeah, if you just want to do a word search on it.
Is it possible it can stay in there as a guiding principle? That's my question, I guess.
Yeah, look,
In the text, I haven't. Like I said, to me, I read it through and I didn't explicitly see references to community wellbeing. I could be completely wrong. Yeah. But I'd like to see it maintained there, because I think it is as important as environmental sustainability, entrepreneurial opportunities and regional innovation.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's up there with those things and it should remain.
Which is probably why it was put there in the first place, but it just sort of seemed a little bit out of context there, so it did get moved around. That's okay. I take your point. Thank you.
Any further questions?
That was also my question. I thought it might have been a miss thing that it was cut out, and just wanted to suggest that it stay in.
Yeah, no problem.
Any Councillor Fever?
I'd just like to say that I'm really pleased we're at the stage where we're asking for quotes regarding this project, because it's very, very important for the whole of Breakaday. And if we get behind, we're going to slip way behind.
Okay, if we have no further questions, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. Look, it's 11 o'clock. If everybody would like to stop and have 10 minutes, we'll have a quick cup of coffee and come back.
I Google everything now.
Just a little bit of hush.
Does not work for me. And nothing's
just
on there.
A little bit of hush. You good?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. I hope everybody enjoyed their short break. 25.16.3 is Commander Beaumora Structure Plan Project Brief. Would you like to speak to that, please, Deb?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
We are also concurrently releasing a project brief for quotes for the preparation of the Commander Beaumora Structure Plan. So it's a non-statutory planning tool that can inform the regional planning process, as well as inform the application of zoning and overlays in the local provision schedule as well. So it aims to manage settlements in terms of use and development, as well as the need to protect and identify natural values, as well as address natural hazards. So it's a strategic forward planning document that aims to address questions such as what will the settlement look like in 15 years, as well as many other matters. So we have given reports previously on what a structure plan is and is expected to do and what it manages. And we've provided the brief as well that has identified the elements that we intend to look at. Community and stakeholder consultation is a major component of it. And the brief is... It's put to council for your consideration, and once again, I'm happy to bring in any changes that you require prior to the release of the brief. And it will be released concurrently with the industrial land use study, because we may get someone who can look at both at the same time.
For that, Deb, can I have somebody move? Councillor Wright and seconded. Councillor Fever. Any questions to Deb regarding this one? Councillor Drummond?
For the Chair, if I may. So I read the document. My question, I think, is around, are you able to tell me how the plan will address, and the issues were raised in a public question by Graham Beach earlier on in the meeting today, the public question time questions, about that we lost the 1 kilometre subdivision prohibition in the new planning scheme. I'm just wondering how this plan is going to assist in protecting that coastal environment from overdevelopment. And my second part of that question is around our scenic protection code. Do we actually have a scenic protection code now, and how will that fit in with this? Because it used to be that within the main highways, that beyond there had to be protected from visual pollution. I'm not sure if that now exists, because I haven't sat down and read through the planning scheme in great detail since it's been adopted, I must admit.
It's okay. The structure plan cannot amend the state planning provisions. So the only way a structure plan would look at changes to planning instruments would be in terms of amending the LPS, and that might be in terms of mapping and overlays and zoning. So it may recommend changes to zoning, or it might recommend a particular purpose zone or some site-specific qualifications or something like that. It's very hard to try and predict what the outcome will be. But one thing it can't do is amend the state planning provisions, and the subdivision standards are within the state planning provisions. Okay. Yeah. Now, your second question was about scenic protection. At the moment, our local provision schedule only includes the scenic road corridor, right, which accounts for exactly that within the scenic road corridor. And there are planning and there are development standards that go with that in the code. Yeah. I believe in the project brief we are looking at addressing scenic values, which is a separate component. Any work that's done in the area of scenic values would be possibly a change to the LPS to introduce a planning scheme overlay.
I'm just looking at councils like Kingsborough, who have quite an extensive scenic protection code in their new planning scheme. So I was just wondering if this was going to encompass some of that and then go back for a change to the...
So that has been included in the project brief for scenic areas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deb. Do we have any further questions? Councillor Carter?
I'm certainly happy that this structure plan's underway, but I just have a question. My brain's wired a little bit differently, so I'm wondering what about Falmouth and Seymour and places south of that. Is there any benefit to... trying to consider them in this conversation?
So the reasoning behind the structure plan, with the first conception of it, came about as a result of population changes within Scamander and the Beaumaris area, and addressing that and trying to make sure we manage these settlements for the, for the characteristics and the vision and goals that the community wants. So we have noticed that change in demographics, and so it's about responding to that and making sure we've got the right tools in place to manage settlements to the way the community wants. Falmouth isn't included because of those demographic changes, but that's not to say that Falmouth and Four Mile Creek couldn't be part of a wider, you know, future strategic planning, which would all have to come back through council for consideration in terms of budgets and resources and everything, that maybe, you know, maybe the scenic areas that we looked at are expanded, that sort of issue. And there's already a fair body of work done on that was presented to through the LPS process. So there's a fair bit of, there's, you know, existing body of work there that, and as we just discussed in the hearings, that we will look further into, you know. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? If we, Councillor Fever.
I just think it's interesting to note, with Scamander being the second largest township now, a lot of people don't realise that. I spoke to a politician last week and they were very surprised, so the more impetus we can give to that, I think the more feedback and input we're going to get into this project. And with that younger demographic, it's the growth area, so we do need to do really sound work and have as many people as we can participate.
Good comment. Any further questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.17.1 is the General Manager's Report. Thank you very much, Deb. John, would you like to speak to your report, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of things. In relation to the Parks and Wildlife Service meeting, I've noted there about the St. Columba Falls track situation. Apparently they've had another slip on the track as well, so that's just recently, last heavy rainfall period, so the job's got a little bit larger, but they're still doing assessment on that. Meeting with Rebecca White and the Mayor on last Friday afternoon late, that was, we discussed the federal election priorities, and very, very positive conversation with Rebecca White, and seeking her support for the assistance with advocating for what council was seeking there as well. So very positive, and we also had a broader discussion around key issues within the community as well. Apart from that, Mr. Mayor, obviously the other one I've noted in there, just to do with the future of local government review. The department is now starting to progress a bit around some of the recommendations, and whilst we've got the legislative review items coming through and they've been sent to councillors, there'll be an item in relation to that for council to consider at the workshop and then at subsequent council meeting. Just in relation to the other piece, which is the boundary topic, there as well, they're doing some work around the framework and underlying principles and the process roadmap as well. So just to give some clarity, and then I expect that they'll be visiting councillors to discuss the process and the various elements. So now that they've actually formally received the report and had it out there, they're now in that implementation phase of looking at that and seeing where that particular item goes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the General Manager's Report be received? Councillor Fever and seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to the General Manager on his report, please? Councillor Drummond.
Questions, if I may. Regarding the St Mary's Art Project survey, community engagement, page 86, through the Chair, do we know how many surveys we ended up with in the written format?
11.
Oh, a few more than the other month.
11, yeah.
And it's closed now, Jane?
Yeah, it's closed, and the information's been passed on to Mel, the artist.
Lovely. Are councillors going to see those submissions? Are we going to see a summary of those submissions?
I can provide you with that if you'd like.
That would be great. Thank you very much. I'd be very grateful for that. Thank you. And my other question was around the Easy Tiger official opening. I was just curious as to why that wasn't notified to councillors. I was just speaking to Wendy Nash and she was surprised that we didn't know about it.
Yeah, through Mr. Mayor,
It was just, I think, they just invited who they thought. They didn't actually extend an invitation via council. So normal process, if we receive an invitation here, then it gets circulated in that respect as well. So
there was a personal invitation.
Yeah, did a personal invitation. So I wasn't aware that they hadn't invited everyone because, as I said, normal process, we get an invitation, get circulated, but we didn't get the invitation for that.
And so he was just surprised when I was talking to that councillors weren't present, so I was just curious as to how that planned out, really. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Councillor Johnston.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, Mayor. I was just wondering with the meeting with Parks and Wildlife Service, if the dog plan was raised.
I pointed out what the situation was, but he's only fairly new in the job, so he's still getting his head around a few things there as well, but he was aware of it and he could understand where we were coming from in terms of that there, so yeah.
Thank you. A couple of others, just on the one around council emergency management preparedness, that meeting with the consultants. How did that go? How are we looking?
Great.
We're looking.
On both accounts, it was a good meeting. And, yes, we are well prepared. And okay. They recognise that. I think Chris is not here at the moment. Andrew's here. But with the unfortunate practice that we have, we've got very mature systems, etc. So they identified a few changes that we could make, just little improvements in that. But on the whole, it was a really good report in relation to council's preparedness to handle those events.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have more of them, so I think it's an important question to ask, obviously, and it's important that we are prepared. Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by the outcome of that assessment, Councillor Johnson, because I've seen our team in operation, and I know just small events, how it just swings into action. As I say, they do say practice makes perfect, unfortunately. Yeah. We get a lot of practice at times, but equally too, they made a few recommendations, suggestions
for us to consider. Preparedness, I mean,
well,
I think
more to do with, smaller things around sort of backup plans and a few bits and pieces
there.
But compared to other councils, I think it's fair to say we were quite well situated.
Thank you very much for that.
Without speaking too highly, Andrew's in the back, but we've got two of the most incredible emergency manager coordinators you would ever ask for in Chris and Andrew, and I'm saying that openly while Andrew's listening, because these two ladies are amazing, and the network that they have, the connections, it's one phone call and things happen. So I mean that sincerely, Andrew. We're very pleased to have you and Chris on board in that position.
Thank you. I'd like to speak, Dick, on the recommendations that were made, that they were actually quite generic and way across the story for all councils, and they were really good recommendations and things that we should take on board.
Thank you, Ange, thank you, and thanks for reporting on that. And the other question, which I feel that you've answered, but maybe if there's anything else, I was just going to ask if there was any more on the future of local government review, because I think obviously, this is really important. I know you provided there an update. For me, this seems to be something that we really need to have our heads around. So, thank you.
So, the discussion paper to do with targeted amendments to the Local Government Act, that's been released, that's been circulated. That will be coming to council workshop and council meeting for discussion to see what submissions we might want to make on that. But noting there that it's more about process for implementation, not the merits of what's proposed to change. They've accepted that as done and dusted, and it's now about how they're going about implementation. So there's a few things in there that we'll probably need to respond on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any further questions to John? Okay, you got out of it pretty light, Mr. Brown. Can I take this to the vote? All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And Rosina, we now have to ask you to leave. It's that time of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.